Hi, I'm everybody's favorite planeswalker voted most likely to betray humanity. Kira.
Hi, I came before the chicken. Maya.
And it's Edge of Eternity season.
It is. We're smack bang in the middle of spoiler season once more. I think there are something like 280 cards revealed or so.
Oh, we are, as of recording, fully spoiled. Ooh. According to Scryfall, we are completely and utterly fully spoiled.
In Scryfall we trust.
In Scryfall we trust. This episode today, we're going to focus specifically on cards that have effects in Standard that we've seen in the past that have been quite successful. And effects that we are looking to replace now that rotation is coming on the same day that Edge of Eternities releases. And so for those of you who are unfamiliar, when sets rotate, there is zero overlap between a set coming in and rotation happening. So on the day that Edge of Eternities releases, Dominaria United, Brothers War, all of those sets will rotate out. There is zero overlap and no chance, unfortunately, in Standard for you to play cards from these sets together. That is just the way that rotation has been designed.
If you would like to, Pioneer is the place for you.
We are going to start with cards today that are coming in post-rotation, and we are filling out old slots or familiar spells or familiar effects that we've seen in Standard in the past that have been really good in Standard in the past. And we're going to start very predictably. When this card was spoiled, I knew instantly, great, this is our new temporary lockdown. And the card that we're starting with is Pinnacle Starcage. It is one white-white artifact. When this artifact enters exile, all artifacts and creatures with mana value 2 or less until this artifact leaves the battlefield. But it has a secondary ability. For 6 white-white, put each card exiled with this artifact into its owner's graveyard. Then create a 2/2 colorless robot artifact creature token for each card put into a graveyard this way. Sacrifice this artifact. Maya, what makes this card so good?
I mean, it's just temporary lockdown, right? Except that it is different in a couple of major ways. The first major way is that this is much, much worse with the Pixie Shell. There was a version of the Pixie Shell that I was playing a lot of that was using Temporary Lockdown as a value engine to exile your Hopeless Nightmares and your Nowhere to Runs and then bouncing it with your Pixie and putting them all back into play. This doesn't have that issue. There are certainly elements of it that can do that with cards like Grim Bauble, and there are new artifacts that have Enters the Battlefield abilities. But in general, this is going to be much less breakable as a value engine. This is much more likely just going to be a cool control piece. Your blue-white control decks, your white-X control decks are going to play this against your low-to-the-ground aggressive decks and be happy to have it in their deck, and that is a good thing for the format.
Additionally, as well, it's worth noting Temporary Lockdown's wording says, when Temporary Lockdown enters the battlefield, exile each non-land permanent with mana value 2 or less. And Pinnacle Starcage does specify artifacts and creatures. And so, as you said, in this Orzhov Pixie or Bounce value engine, you're not getting to exile your Corroding Dragonstorms or your Hopeless Nightmares. Rest in peace, it's banned now. But you wouldn't have been able to even benefit off of Pinnacle Starcage bouncing because it doesn't hit enchantments. And so this is a really significant change, but this is still a powerful effect nonetheless. We still have Otter Stacks running around. You still have Mono Red Aggro decks running around. Creatures with mana value 2 or less are aplenty in the format currently.
Yeah, I mean, efficient creatures are just good and they are going to continue to be good. Turns out small creatures just meh.
Yeah, turn sideways, beat face.
Yeah, it works. It is a time-tested strategy and is likely to continue to be a part of Standard for as long as Bloomburrow is in it, let me tell you. It's worth noting as well that the 8 mana effect is not nothing. There are going to be games as a control deck where you get to 8 mana. And this is a mana sink that lets you put a couple of things into play to either block or to close out the game. It's not insignificant. It is probably card for card, pound for pound. In isolation, I would say Temporary Lockdown is probably better than this card. But I think this card does very well in a control shell, especially with that sort of late game 8 mana push. This card's very interesting.
Something really interesting about the way that Wizards designs these sets is even in a limited format, you can see the ways in which cards are meant to interact with each other. And I can see a really interesting world in which you pair Pinnacle Stargate with something like Hardlight Containment. Hardlight Containment is an enchantment aura, but it specifically can only enchant an artifact you control. When this aura enters, exile target creature an opponent controls until this aura leaves the battlefield. Chanted permanent has ward one. There's a world in which you wipe up your opponent's board and potentially some of your board as well. And then also Hardlight Containment on top of it. And you've just created a really cool little prison on the side of your on your side of the battlefield. Not saying it's perfect, not saying it's ideal, but it's one way in which these cards could interact together that I do think is interesting.
It also isn't parasitic in the way that it interacts, in the same way it would be with something like Temporary Lockdown, because Pinnacle Starcage doesn't hit enchantments. So you can Hardlight Containment your opponent's creature and then play another Pinnacle Starcage at some point. And you don't have to worry about your Hardlight Containment getting exiled under the Starcage because it is an enchantment. The design's good. I'm very interested to see how it all evolves. Speaking of...
putting things in holes. Okay, wait. Sorry. It's only because I know what we're going to reference, but that's bad.
A little bit.
No. Speaking of putting things in cages.
I was going to say, speaking of interesting and efficient control cards, Portable Hole is back in the form of Seam Rip.
Seam Rip is a one white enchantment. When this enchantment enters, exile target non-land permanent and opponent controls with mana value 2 or less until this enchantment leaves the battlefield.
This is a really important card for this format. Having cheap ways to interact with your opponent's board is kind of a necessity in this format, right? Even with the absence of Heartfire Hero, you still have these like aggressive combo-slanted red decks that are trying to kill you in one or two turns and demand that you interact on turns 1 and 2. And Seam Rip is a very efficient way to do that in colors that already want to be interacting. This card's just pretty good. In my mind, this card is the cutdown replacement. It's not in black, obviously, but it is that same sort of efficient level of cheap interaction that works on creatures that are going to be played in the early game.
It's also worth noting that we mention this because Portable Hole is played in other formats. Portable Hole is played in Pioneer.
And Modern.
And so the reason that we reference and bring up a card like Seam Rip is we're looking for repeatable effects that are successful in either past standard formats. I remember when Adventures in the Forgotten Realms was standard legal, this card was also played in a like Stonebinder's Familiar white exile pile. And we see it having success in formats like Modern and Pioneer, which means it's a good card with a good effect.
Yeah.
Good card. Recognizable, repeatable effect that has been successful in other formats. Doesn't hit VV, but there's no reason why you wouldn't target a potentially difficult otter token. Gone forever. There's no impetus to remove the Seam Rip because you don't get that otter token back.
It's also good against the increasing popularity of decks with just like high stats. So things like the Gruul Delirium deck with Wildfire Wicker Folk. And
Patchwork Beastie?
Patchwork Beastie and Scrap Heap Scrounger. The ability to hit something on mana value instead of power toughness in the same way that Cutdown did is very strong. It's a different way of attacking the same problem. And you do have some redundancy in the colors with Pinnacle Starcage as well. And maybe there is a little bit of a parasitic element in deck building there. But my expectation is that in your blue-white control decks, if they exist, which they may well do, you're going to be playing probably 2 to 3 Starcage and 2 to 3 Seam Rip.
There's also a world in which you have this kind of enchantress deck. Like I played an eerie blue-white enchantment deck a while ago. These are some pretty good pieces that deck didn't have before. There's a world in which Optimistic Scavenger pairs really well with Seam Rip because it's a one mana enchantment. That's a good way to get a +1/+1 counter on something. I see a world in which like a blue-white control, but you know, with a specific enchantment lean could be really good in this format.
Certainly. The other thing to note is that this is for a combo deck, for a white-based combo deck, a really efficient way to remove hate pieces. So it's really, really good against cards like Rest in Peace. Generally speaking, very cheap, efficient ways to remove non-land permanents, especially cheap ones, are going to be good at coming out of the sideboard and dealing with problematic permanents. So I think there is almost no chance that this doesn't see play in some capacity. Whether it sees play in controlling shells or combo shells is a question that only time will be able to answer.
This also does hit Ghost Vacuum, and it does hit Soul Guide Lantern as well. So those specific graveyard hate pieces, which they're probably not bringing out in your enchantment deck, like, to be honest, but that's not to say there isn't some utility there in general for other control style decks.
Well, I have a theory that Azorius Oculus is coming back.
Ooh.
And it would not surprise me if this came in out of the board.
Sure. Very interesting. Well, look, I'm very excited about this next card because I have been decrying the loss of Memory Deluge since it rotated out of standard way, way yonder back in the previous set rotation. And this next card is Consult the Star Charts. It is one in a blue, instant. It has kicker, one in a blue. Look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the number of lands you control. Put one of those cards into your hand. If this spell was kicked, put two of those cards into your hand instead. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. I love an instant speed draw spell.
This card's really good. And it's really good for a couple of reasons. The first one is that Memory Deluge-like effects have been missing in Standard for a long time. The closest equivalent we've had for a while is Stock Up and that sorcery speed, which is a really big downside for the way you have to build a controlling or an instant speed style deck. It's the reason why things like Blue-Black Midrange isn't playing Stock Up in the main board, because you want to be holding up mana and flashing things in on the end step. This doesn't have that problem. The other benefit to it as well is it has the pseudo-impulse option, and that's really important. Having a secondary option to play a more efficient, more selective game plan, especially against aggressive strategies, is really important. Having a way to filter a little bit and get that one particular answer that you need into a combo deck is critically valuable, even if you don't necessarily capitalize on the card advantage elements of this card. I think this card is great. I think it's going to see four of play in at least two decks over the course of its life.
For those of you who are not familiar with Ye Olde Memory Deluge, let me remind you and enlighten you. Memory Deluge was two blue-blue, instant. Look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the amount of mana spent to cast this spell. Put two of them into your hand and the rest in the bottom of your library in a random order. It has flashback for five blue-blue, so for seven. Now, these spells are similar but different. Memory Deluge, the first time you cast it, you looked at four cards off of the top of your library, and you could put two into your hand. You got to look at more cards the second time you cast this spell. You got to look at seven cards and put two of them into your hand. The currently most analogous card for looking at the most number of cards is Stock Up, where you can look at five and you put two into your hand. And the reason that Consult the Star Charts is good and also different than Memory Deluge is where in Consult the Star Charts, X is the number of lands you control. So at a minimum, if you cast this for two and you have two lands, you get to look at two cards and put one of them into your hand. If you have three lands, though, you do get to look at three. And if you have four lands, even if you're only casting it for two, you get to look at four cards. And I think that's a really interesting element to this card. And even when you pay the kicker cost, if you pay four mana for this spell and you control five lands, you've Memory Deluged. That's awesome. That's exactly what we loved. Like, Memory Deluge, the ability to look at a specific number of cards, you know, four or seven, we have it back in a way. That's really exciting. And I see this card scaling up really well. There is not going to be a moment, similar to Memory Deluge, there were not really any moments you were upset to draw Memory Deluge because it was card refinement and card selection. You got to pick what you wanted and put everything else away. I see this doing really well because even in the late game, you control six lands, cast it for four, you get to look at six cards. I see that being really impactful in a blue-white control shell, which has really been missing a spell of this kind for quite a while.
I will note that this is still different from Memory Deluge. Memory Deluge really went hard on maximizing the game going long and maximizing the number of cards that you could get out of a single card. So this is not nearly as much card advantage as Memory Deluge. Instead, it sort of hedges its bets in the opposite direction. It is looking to... it is card advantage, but it is also trying to get you to the point where that card advantage matters. Whereas Memory Deluge essentially said, if you have enough mana to flash back this Memory Deluge, you have won the game. So they are different, they serve different purposes, but they are very, very good. Speaking of blue-white controlling cards, Our last card that we want to talk about as kind of a slot-for-slot replacement is Beyond the Quiet, replacing Sunfall.
Beyond the Quiet is 3 white-white sorcery. Exile all creatures and spacecraft. You could basically reskin Sunfall. This is what it is. They are 5 mana, sorcery speed, exile effects.
Have you seen the alternate art for this? It's so beautiful. Gorgeous.
So much of the art in this set is just absolutely gorgeous. A reminder for those of you, Sunfall is also 3 white-white sorcery. Exile all creatures, incubate X, where X is the number of creatures exiled this way. So obviously Sunfall had an upside that Beyond the Quiet doesn't. But Beyond the Quiet, in this instance, has the benefit of also exiling spacecraft, which we know is going to be really, especially in the limited environment, very important. People are going to have spacecrafts. You are going to want to deal with them. Cards that deal with difficult to deal with permanent types, gosh, that's a sentence, are really important in the format. And again, when we're looking at that slot for slot replacement, this is exactly what a blue-white control deck would want. It's losing Sunfall. It needs something else to go in there. Day of Judgment, yes, no, maybe. There are a lot of aristocrat ping-style decks running around, and so the death triggers are problematic, and so getting this exile effect back is going to be really important. Obviously, you lose out on the advantage of yourself benefiting from casting this spell in terms of receiving that incubate, which in general, depending on how you've cast it, where in the game you are, you could have a 4-4, 5-5 incubate token. That's not nothing, and that will oftentimes push those control decks over the edge. You know, you attack with a 5-5 four times, you've won the game, right? If your opponent has no blockers, ideally. So Beyond the Quiet is a really important card for us to see in this set and to have it fill the gap that Sunfall is going to leave behind.
It is worth noting as well that we are going into a worse standard format, right? We have the fewest number of sets in standard that we have had for, I think, 3 or 4 years now. Because this is the first rotation since the 3-year extension of Standard. So as a result, we are genuinely going to see a really significant power dip in the quality of decks in Standard. So this does feel like a slot-for-slot replacement for Sunfall, where the quality of the card has been adjusted to the expected quality of the decks in the format. And that's fine. And maybe as Standard continues to grow with new sets, we will see a card that is slot-for-slot better than Beyond the Quiet. But for now, I think this card is great. And I think it deals with a lot of the problematic permanents that you want to deal with. And it exiles, which I think makes it better than Ultima. There is a lot of question as to, you know, in individual situations and individual cards that make Ultima or Beyond the Quiet, you know, better or worse. But I think in a vacuum, you're going to want to play the big exile effect more than you're going to want the incidental value of ending a turn.
100% agree. I was very excited to see this card. The art, the alternate art for this one is just gorgeous.
I want an artist proof for it, and I want to hang it in my room. It's
just
gorgeous.
Beautiful. And so many cards that we are getting in this set have gorgeous alternate art treatments. I even saw they've done galaxy foil printing on the special shocks again.
Ooh.
So that's going to be gorgeous.
I do love a galaxy foil.
It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited. This is my set of the year. I'm coming up. This is my set of the year.
I did not think I was going to be as excited for this set as I am, but I think I will, like, I buy into every set because I play Standard and I like Standard cards and I like Magic and I like Pretty. I think I'm going to buy a ridiculous amount of this set. I think I'm just going to like the space theming a little bit too much for my own good. And God, I really want those bonus sheet lands. They're so gorgeous.
I love the theme. I love the art. I love all of it. I'm so excited for this set. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. The cards are gorgeous. The art is gorgeous. The mechanics seem really, really interesting. I'm really, really excited to play with the warp mechanic, which we haven't even talked about yet. So hang tight, buckle up, get ready to blast off, because all of that and more is coming with Edge of Eternities releasing in stores soon. And hopefully, by the time you're listening to it, it's already available. A huge thank you to Wizards of the Coast for sponsoring this episode. A reminder to all Standard players and all Magic players that Standard Playseason rewards are coming to your participating Australia and New Zealand WPN stores starting July 25th. Participate in 4 eligible events to receive exclusive Edge of Eternity's rewards, including a station counter and ID card holder. Redeem your rewards from July 25th until September 18th, available on a first-come, first-served basis while supplies last. Now prepare to blast off.
With all that said, that is all we have for you today. We look forward to seeing you again next week. New episodes release on Mondays at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Until then, you can keep track of all our releases at RaiseMTG on both Instagram and Blue Sky. You can find Kira on the same platforms at kirabobira.jpg and myself at MayaMTG. A big thank you to the State Library of Victoria for the ongoing use of their space. And until next week, remember, as the Supervoid's photon collar washed over them, time stopped. Their souls would experience the grandeur of their demise for eternity.